We can't keep Bumper Graham waiting on the line too long. He gets very upset. Bumper, sorry to keep you waiting for so long, but I'm sure you've been engaging in this conversation. We've been talking about workers on this, and that is very, very important. And I promise we'll let you talk about that in a second. But first of all, just from a human point of view, what do you think of this idea of paying above £23,000 of assets? Do you think it's just something that's necessary to try and ensure we do have a decent system?
Well, thanks, Chris. I think there are three issues, and I'll come back to the workforce issues. But I think you need to combine the other two points, which is, you call it domiciliary care. Previously it was called care in the community. And therefore, we've got to look at what is the role of that and how do you fund it? And, you know, when you go back to the previous report on transforming your care, about providing care at home, it was aimed to do two or three things. Firstly, it was aimed to try and get people out of our hospitals, to free up beds, to get greater throughput and all of that. And also, it was there, I think as John said, as a preventative tool. So he, I think, avoided the issue of where does it sit within the health service? Because within the health service, as you know, everything is supposed to be free at the point of use. And I think we have to address this issue of, is it part and parcel of the health service? I believe it is. And therefore,
of course, it's not free in England. We should point that out. I mean, it's not free in England. It's not free in Wales.
In England, the structures were different. And they are now moving towards the Northern Ireland model of an integrated health and social care provision. Previously, social care there was done by local government. Our system, I believe, is the better one, and other countries can learn from it. So how do we fund it? And I think it was Mary and Damien both made valid points about paying our national insurance, paying our tax, and Damien referring to the billions upon billions that are doled out in corporate welfare. So there's one issue. The other thing is the UK is one of the lowest countries in the world amongst developed countries in terms of the proportion of money it spends on health, and we need to try and improve the amount of money in health allocation. But the critical thing in all of this is if we have a properly funded care in the community system that is both preventive on one hand and allowing people out of hospital quicker on the other, that will ensure that the pressures on our hospitals are reduced, and that has to be funded and is worth funding because that is a much cheaper way of doing it than the current system.
The problem in all that, Bumper, and John Kennedy, I'm sure, would put this much more eloquently than me, but chip in if you'd like, John. I mean, but the problem with that is fundamentally that we are an ageing population. The numbers of people who are going to need this kind of care at home, who are going to rely on this care at home, is blooming.
I mean, we are an ageing population, but Northern Ireland has probably got the highest rate of younger people in the UK, and therefore not in as bad a position as the other three countries.
Do you think that's true, John?
Well, the numbers of older people is definitely true, and the proportion in relation to the number of younger people will be a higher proportion of older people.
You've got to remember, John, as well, is this government is going to make people work till they're 70.
I know. Can I just address a couple of points that Bumper made? Because I agree with a lot of what's being said. Just a couple of points. The role of social care and community care in minimising the need for health, not just to save money, because people want to be fitter and healthier. You know, they don't actually want to be ill and frail. Is an absolutely key thing. And at the moment, because we don't invest in social care enough and we don't value the sort of preventative work, we're actually paying it hand over fist through the front door of the hospital because people are having to go and use acute services when arguably they could have been prevented from having to do so. And that needs to be factored into the calculations, absolutely quite right. And we talk about that in the report quite a bit. In terms of the structures, it is true that in England it's local authorities that commission social care, whereas in Northern Ireland it's the health trusts. But they may be in the same structure and in the same buildings, but the same rules apply in terms of the funding and the.
Yes, but John, the point I'm making is, and I believe the answer is what I said, that social care should be an integral part of our health service. For all the reasons that you have mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, my view is that's a sort of political thing. I think they should be, health and social care should work absolutely cheek by jowl, hand by fist, or whatever the expressions are, and very, very close. That's why we talk about raising the workforce so that there's a more of a parity of esteem between health workers and social care workers.
How
you actually fund it? And as we've said earlier in the programme, you could take a model that you've been talking about, that it's all free and it's all part of the same system, but that would still have to be paid for through taxation. And we haven't, neither in England nor in Northern Ireland, have we taken that into account and had tax rates that reflect that kind of expenditure that we need.
What you're both saying, though, is that this is all about the wider health service as well. You're kind of connecting
absolutely
to both of it.
Yes.
And Jim in Belfast wants to raise a point on that. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I'm listening to the programme. Now, the first thing I want to say, I'm a pensioner. I worked and got 49 stamps to get a pension. Now the government has changed the 49 stamps to 35. A backward stroke, if you like, less money. I can't understand that. But to be quite honest with you, every time I hear a program like this, because of my age, I feel as if I'm not wanted, that the government couldn't care less about me and old age pensioners. Now, that's a terrible, sad fact when you think of what people of my age went through. We didn't sit on our rear end and get everything handed to us. It was 1948 whenever the health service came about. So it was. But unfortunately, in them days, things didn't cost as much. Plus, doctors didn't realise of all the different ailments that there was, diseases there was. Now, every time you read the paper, you find a new drug has been invented to cure a certain thing, and it's going to cost each patient $100,000 a year.
Now, yeah. I do wonder, though, if you're thinking about everybody and trying to keep this system together, which is what everybody here is talking about, Jim.
Yes, I understand that.
If you started to pay and contribute, would that be a hardship for you? I mean, I don't know anything about your personal circumstances, but
it would. But I'll tell you what is going to happen now. So it is, anybody that has over the figure is going to go out and spend it. Or maybe a luxury, a car or something like that. So the government is no better off. They're going to be worse off because people's attitude is, you're not going to affect me. What's mine is mine. And they're going to get rid of it.
Jim, there's another issue in this. You know, just looking at the figure of 23,150 and you know, Chris saying that will capture nearly everybody that owns a house. The problem is that for many of our elderly, they do own their houses, but they have no cash. So, you know, they may be seen to be asset rich, but they're cash poor. So what are we going to do? Force them to sell the house?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Which only gives money to solicitors and estate agents.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you brought up the point of people of my age having their own house. That's right.
Brendan Mulgrew is listening to this as well.
I mean, really annoys me.
Well, no, and I think your points are extremely valid, Jim. I mean, listening to that, Brendan Mulgrew, you must have sympathy for Jim.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You all care workers. They should be getting a lot more money than what they do, because it's a hard enough job. And as that gentleman said, if I was on my own and I had somebody coming, that would be the only person I would meet during the day, and I would depend on them.
No, we're not getting rid of you, Jim. I just want to bring Brendan in, but feel free to chat to Brendan. Brendan, you certainly have sympathy, you were saying, with Jim.
I have sympathy for Jim, and I have sympathy for anyone who looks at this entire issue. And, you know, it's now 9:45. What was the 9 o'clock headline this morning, Chris? Our schools are running a deficit more than ever. You know, there's any amount of calls on our public funding, and it's not just good enough to say government needs to put more money into health care. It does, but is it going to happen? Is it realistic when we have, across the UK, in Northern Ireland, we have a growing elderly population and a decreasing younger population?
I'll tell you what it makes me think, Brendan.
Where is all this money going to go?
I'll tell you what it makes me think, Brendan, that basically governments potentially have been trying to keep tax as low as possible because it's good for votes. And actually, at some stage, you have to wake up and realise that there's not enough money going into public services and it's time to raise taxes.
Yeah.
Well, can we make sure that tax raising applies to big business? Because we have seen corporation tax come down from 30% to 19%. We have heard what Damien said earlier about yet more money being handed out in corporate welfare. So when we're looking at taxing, it isn't just the ordinary worker. Let's tackle this properly and, you know, get rid of the corporate welfare that we have in this country.
Well, let's let Brendan run to that as well, Brendan.
Well, I don't know the person out there who would say, no, I don't want to pay a penny extra on my tax if it's going to go towards the health service, if it's going to go towards mental health support.
So why does no party ever say it whenever there's an election campaign? You don't hear parties saying we're going to raise taxes but invest in health.
No, in actual fact, Chris, the Conservative Party probably had their worst election outcome imaginable based on the fact that they did raise the prospect of what became known as dementia tax. But is it equitable that we have a situation where the elderly population, in some cases who do have assets and in some cases who do have cash as well, look towards the younger working populations to pay for their long-term care? That's not sustainable in the long term. John's report, which we're talking about this morning, says the system is collapsing. Not about to collapse or may collapse, is collapsing before our eyes.
Chris, can I just say this, because I need to go because I have meetings to represent members in, but, you know, there is this issue about the workforce, and it is quite disgraceful that they're not paid for their travelling time, that putting them on the minimum wage or the living wage isn't in itself good enough. You know, nobody should be aspiring just to be on the legal minimum wage.
Totally agree with that.
And what we need to do, first of all, is return the delivery of these services to our health service, because in the main, they were privatised, and they were privatised so it could be done on the cheap. And let's get them back into the health service, where not only just do we address the issue of pay, but also address the issue of a career for them, so that they're not just looking at doing the basic duties like the old home help system used to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge response coming into this, John Kennedy. Your report has really raised a lot of concerns with people, but also raised a lot of genuine issues. And actually, that point that was being discussed with Bumper and Brendan there about governments needing to raise taxes and starting to look at how much they raise in taxes across the public services, is that something that you do think it needs to be looked at?
Well, I think the first thing is I'm really pleased that that's created so much interest, because it certainly is a subject that hasn't been talked about.
There's a huge number of calls coming in at the moment, I can tell you.
Well, that's great, and I'm really pleased about that. It's difficult. It's really difficult stuff. So one of the callers just mentioned there, which is an excellent point, it isn't just about an ageing population, and I think we should all think of ourselves. We're saying in the report that let's stop thinking about them, these sort of older people or whoever it may be, start thinking about us and our families, start entering into the big, thinking about what we want for ourselves, because it would probably help us get to a better place. But the other point that was being raised there, which is very important, is that the health, as medical things advance, there's more and more treatments coming, more and more conditions that can be managed that people would just die from before, but now that they can be treated and people can live with very complex conditions. So that's another driver, but it's not a driver that we don't want, because we do want to get treatment for our illnesses and ailments. But it's another driver of the cost, which means the argument, in a sense, that we've paid in, we're in a different place. We're a different society. It's a different structure, and it needs transformation and change, because the old system was designed for a very different set of circumstances. So it's not just about thinking of it in terms of it's just a money issue. It is a money issue, but it's a wider societal issue.
But potentially it's also a personal money issue for a lot of people. And we are getting calls about that as well. Anne Watson is from the Pensioners Parliament, and she's on the line too. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Well, what have you made of this discussion then?
Well, I agree with most of the things that have been said. There's no question about that. One of the things I can't understand is we have yet another report. We had Transforming Your Care. We had Ben Goa. None of these came cheap. They all cost a lot of money. Now, one of the things in the Ben Goa was everybody in their own home. And this is what's being inferred now. That's all very fine. But everybody in their own home, they're trying to encourage family to look after people. What happens to people who don't have family to look after them? They're expected, and by the way, fair wage for everybody who is in this type of work shouldn't even have to be talked about.
Yeah, well,
it should be a done deal. But even if we did talk about it and did agree, who is there in the Stormont to do it? We're paying them. They have been paid for nearly a year.
Yeah,
and their money is just, as well as that, they're getting subsidised meals, subsidised car allowances, etc., etc.
I'll tell you what, though, John. What the truth is this report was commissioned before Stormont collapsed, and Anne's point is a very clear one. It does sometimes feel like we have these reports to fill time before action takes place. And we've had a lot of reports about a lot of things to do with the health service, but it feels like we haven't had a lot of action. I mean, you look at Donaldson, you look at Bengoa. Is your report just another one of those, John?
Well, I hope not, but we were very conscious of that. And we were very conscious of the fact that we thought that people would, you know, report fatigue, I think we say, that it's just another report. But the engagement we got in the work that we did, and if people look at the annex to the report, they can see all the people we met and the places we went and the schemes and things that we went to see. We were really taken by the level of enthusiasm that people wanted to take it forward. And you're absolutely... I don't want to meddle in Northern Ireland politics, but...
Go ahead. Don't worry about us.
Before the Bengoa report and when this one was commissioned... The executive of the time did get together and did agree that they would put political effort behind the outcomes of the Bengoa report and consequently ours, which sort of is the other side of the coin to what Professor Bengoa was talking about. And, I think that maybe the enthusiasm and the if there is genuine interest out there about transforming this system and it's coming from your listeners, then that needs to be captured. To be able to influence politicians and people working in the services to say, you know, almost let's just get on with it, you know?
Well, I want to give as many people a say as we possibly can because the calls are stacking up here. David's been waiting ages in Belfast. Hiya, David.
Hello, Chris.
Tell us what you think about this. Yeah, I can hear you indeed.
Well, Chris, there's only a couple of points I would like. You were talking about mean testing the social care. Now, if you look... I know I should put on maybe anger with some pensioners, but if you look at the many pensioners throughout the United Kingdom, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England, who have uplifted and went to Spain, the warmer country, to live out their lives, and they're still claiming winter fuel allowance. And if you think of the many politicians in the House of Commons and the Lords who are entitled to their winter fuel allowance. So would it not be simpler to mean test the winter fuel allowance for people has moved abroad?
I suspect, and I don't know the figures, so I'm talking off the top of my head here, but I suspect the amount of money we're talking about here in terms of getting this system back up and running properly, it's going to be a lot more than that, frankly, David.
Yeah.
Also on the line is Con and Lauren. Hiya, Con.
Hello, how are you?
I am good, thank you.
Good. My point was Theresa May said that before she got elected, she would raise the social care sort of stuff that you don't have to pay for to 100,000. Nobody's mentioned this here. Now, I'm in a situation where my mother's in care, not a care home, but she's in a social housing and she gets carers in.
And how important is that for her?
Well, it's very important because we all work. I work, obviously. I'm self-employed, so I work every day. My brother works and my sister works. She works in a care home as well. No, not that care home, but a different
another
care
one,
home
yeah.
somewhere else. So she needs somebody to come in to give her tablets, to check she's all right, to give her food at dinner time and stuff like that. And if we have to start paying for that, as John says, it's going to come out of her capital income, which will be her house at the end of the day. But she's worked all her life, all her working life, and my father worked all his life for their house. And the only thing she can say is, well, I'd like to leave some money to my children, which is fair enough. I mean, you know, some of them may not need it. But it's the fact that the government takes everything off them again. Everything.
Yeah, and there's lots of other people that are coming, footing in with the same kind of thoughts. James is in Dundonald. Hiya, James. What do you have to say?
Well, my main point is that I'm a pensioner. I worked 50 years, right, and paid in religiously. Well, not religiously, but, you know, regularly, right?
you give your tithe. That's all right. Go ahead.
The fact of the matter is that when we talk, and I belong to various older people's groups, but when we talk to the powers that be, whether MLS or bureaucrats or whatever, they get the same mantra, and it's unavoidable. What the first thing they say is, people are living longer. Now, that's a product of the National Health Service. You can't describe that to anything else but the health service. And then the second thing they say is, and they're saying it now, we can't afford it. And then the third thing, that the conclusion you draw from that is, actually what they're saying is people are living too long. Now, the fact of the matter is that the BMA for their sins, and I include, you know, consultants and all those people involved in that, in 1948, vehemently opposed the National Health Service. And in Northern Ireland, it got worse. Not only the BMA, but the government at the time opposed the National Health Service. And they were tried kicking and screaming. As an Aaron Bevan said, he got them to agree by filling their mouths with gold. That's the statement from Nye Bevan. Now, the fact of the matter is that these couple of reports are brought out before this new one have clearly failed. Absolutely. Care in the community.
Well, I think it goes beyond that. I think basically with a lot of them, action has not been put into place, and I think that's right. some of the frustration that's coming in here today. I mean,
it's smoke and mirrors, that's all it is.
And on that point, Gareth in Belfast, I mean, you actually think that the government just needs to be more honest about all of this?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think it should be presented in a positive way, because in a way we really are victims of our own success in terms of us living longer and having better health care and new developments in health and all the rest of it. So the government does just need to be honest with people in that age bracket and say, you know, that we have delayed, you know, making extra provision for the ageing population. We knew 30 years ago that there was an ageing population, and we have, you know, kicked the can down the road. So it should be done in a positive way, like I say, because what we're really saying is that we're victims of our own success and we're all living longer, which is great.
That's all fine. But
then the second part of that is that people who can afford maybe to contribute £5 a week, I'm not talking about people who are just on a basic pension and or pension credits. I'm talking about people who are in that age bracket who do have a reasonable amount of disposable income, which I think is probably about 12 million people in this country. So if 12 million people are contributing £5 per week, that's 60 million a week, or roughly 250 million a month.
Well, you're talking there about raising taxes potentially as well, which is one of the things that has been suggested.
Just a little bit of national insurance, you know, because national insurance plan is always seen by people as going, you know, being more likely to be going towards the health service.
I want to squeeze in another call of a can. Mary Therese is on the line as well. Hi, Mary Therese. I know you've been waiting.
Hello.
Well,
hello.
What do you have to say?
Well, I'm one of these so-called pensioners, and every time you lift a paper, you listen to the radio, you're in a conversation with friends, you hear about, oh, the pensioners, now they're getting older. They're getting older. The hospitals are run down with, oh, they're over 65s. I personally worked all my days. I worked all my days till, unfortunately, at the age of 40, I became disabled. But I still tried and got a job. I decided then I'll buy my own house, which I've done. So if I then have to need care later on, my house is going to have to be sold to pay for that. If a young person is listening to this radio today, they're going to say, why should I bother working? The government will look after me.
Okay,
I just find it so unfair that we're always the ones that are picked on.
John, I can only give you 10 seconds to sum this up, but it does sound like you need to persuade people a little bit harder than this report might do.
It's a massive issue, and it's incredible that there's been such a response, and it's a difficult one to do. I would just say, read the report, get involved in the debate, and remember, as the ladies just said there, it's about you. You know, I'm not a pensioner yet, but I will be a pensioner one day, hopefully.
Won't we
it's
all?
About me and my family as well. So do it in that context, talk about it, debate it, and let's see if we can get some of the things that we've said in this report actually put into action.
John Kennedy, thank you very much indeed.